What's up, dental marketer family? How's everybody doing today? How is the dental marketer society feeling? Guys, it is so hot over here. Let me check the temperature really quick. We try to turn off the air conditioner and fans whenever in the studio when we're recording, right? Or when I'm recording the intro to this episode. And right now that noise that you hear, that is like the computer making the noise and it's like producing heat. Jeez, it's hot in here. But it's 96. Ah, I thought it was hotter. Eh. I bet you some of you guys who are like experiencing hotter weather are like, Michael, shut up. So anyways, guys, let me talk to you about this episode. It's going to be a Just Listen segment. Abhishek, really awesome guy. I consider him a good bud of mine now. So positive, right? And we talk about so many things in this episode. It's a really... It's a lengthy episode, but everything in here, I didn't want to edit hardly anything. I didn't edit anything out because everything needs to be heard, right? We talk about how, you know, a little bit about his story, how he was fired from his first job, how that helped him, like it slingshot him to where he is today. We talk about how he fired a couple of his employees since the last time we spoke with him, how he did that. We also talk about the check-ins that he does with his employees, like some of the systems that he has, how they work for him. We also talk about his definition of success. And I'm going to steal this from you, Abhishek, because I kind of want to adopt your definition of success. I like the way you view things. I like the way how you feel like you've won. And it's true. Sometimes you just, I don't even want to get into it. Just listen to it, guys, because it's his definition of success. It's really good. We talk about micromanaging our schedule, not our employees. I love that. We also talk about what systems does he implement. Scaling up is an art. How does he start scaling up? How did he start delegating? He's been open for about a year now, just to let you guys know. We talk about KPI reports, his marketing. Is he still associating? Which, spoiler alert, he is, but he's doing it because he wants to. Okay, so hear this, because he's past the point of breaking even. And he's a pediatric dentist, just to let you guys know, located in Frisco. He's also talks about cookie cutter posts. And this is funny, cookie cutter posts on social media. Are you doing this? A lot of us do this, and this is why you're not getting new patients, engagement, and so forth. So we talk about ground marketing, how he does a lot of that, and we also talk about how social media helped him at the beginning and is continuing to help him and what he did in order to leverage social media, right? So definitely, guys, listen to this episode. It's amazing. Reach out to Abhishek and let us know what you thought. And let us know your thoughts in the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group. So if you haven't, I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes below. Go to the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group. And let's listen to this episode right after this quick message. Guys, how busy are you these days? How busy is your team? How busy is your scheduler or your front office, your office manager? Probably pretty busy, right? Is your practice closed a day or two out of the week? Are you able to answer the phone always? Or are you or your team only answering phones when it isn't busy? Who's answering the phones when no one is in the office? Or who's answering the phones if everyone is busy on the phones, right? Checking insurance, checking out a patient, doing treatment, you're with a patient. Who's answering the phones if you and your team are not in the office? These are all super important questions. Or what if it's after hours, right? Or days you are not open? Someone needs to be answering always, so no opportunities go missing, right? Especially if you are investing a lot in marketing. New patients are calling, but are you answering these calls? Use Callforce. Instead of having your front office come in on a day that you are closed just to answer a couple calls, have Callforce answer. Callforce doesn't just take a message. They work with your patients to resolve questions, schedule appointments, and meet their needs in order to make your life easier. And the best thing is, they only charge you for calls that are answered. So ditch the answering machine and start really capitalizing on every single opportunity. Mention the Dental Marketer Podcast or me, Michael Arias, in order to receive an exclusive deal. So go to the show notes below and click in the Callforce logo to get more information or to see more information and to schedule a demo for free. Don't forget to mention the Dental Marketer Podcast or me to get the exclusive deal. This way, guys, you will never miss a new patient, never leave calls unanswered, and never be unavailable. Go get Call Force. What's up, Abhishek, man? How's it going?
Hey, Michael. How's it going, man? I'm doing well.
Good.
The office, taking care of some work, but yeah, this is a great time to do a podcast.
Did you know I was calling, and then you're like, let me just answer and be like, hi, this is Dr. Ivan.
No, it popped up as unknown, and days off when the office is closed, I still get routed phone calls to my cell phone if it's an emergency.
Are you at the office right now or no?
That's why. Yeah, I'm at the office right now. So on Mondays, we always keep the office closed. But if there's any patient emergencies, they always get rewired through Call Force to my cell phone. So that's why I'm just used to answering that way just in case, you know, you never know.
gotcha, but, man. That's cool, yeah. Man. So like on your, do you normally get a lot of new patients on your day off or not? Like what are you normally noticing on your day off right now?
I'll be frank with you. We get new patients every day. It's kind of all over the place, but on average we get 100 new patients a month. So
100? Whoa.
Like, yeah, we get 100. Yeah. So it's kind of all over the place. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night because of local med. Mm-hmm. Parents will schedule themselves in. And then Mondays, yeah, we do get 2 or 3 new patients on Mondays.
A day, pretty much.
Yeah, 2 or 3 patients on Monday. Yeah, throughout the week we're getting patients. I don't really keep a track of the statistic of like which day of the week we get the most patients.
Yeah.
But it's just all throughout the week.
Man, so how you been, man? How's life right now in general?
Good. It's good. You know, it's been a lot of work this past year, and. I don't think I ever told you this, but we opened our office this past June, June 23rd of 2018. So June 23rd will mark a year
for
this office
man.
To be open.
So much.
I can't believe it's already been a year. It just like flew by, and I've been just in my own little world trying to get this office up and running.
Does it feel like a year?
But it's been a fun ride. It doesn't feel like a year at all.
It feels like what?
For me mentally, it just feels like 6 months. And because we work Saturdays, I've kind of lost just perception of what a weekend is. Because I feel like we see patients on Saturdays, and then Sundays, at least 2 hours of the day, I'll be doing this random business stuff, and then Mondays taking care of admin, other just meetings and stuff. So.
So your Mondays
really
aren't
like a full time thing.
Are your Mondays like super long or nah?
Mondays, I end up, you know, there's always something to do, and I feel like I'm just so ADD. I try to do so many other different things all at once. So, but I end up working till 5 on Mondays too, but just not seeing patients. Yeah. I'll be doing other things on the Mondays. Yeah.
How have you
been? It's been I listened to some of your podcasts. Still,
you're like I still listen to that once in a while. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I'll be selective. I'll be frank with you, man. Like I listen to I love listening to non-dental podcasts.
Yeah,
just because I learned so much from people outside dentistry, but I'll selectively listen to a few of your guests that you bring on.
Oh, cool.
So it's always fun.
Actually,
yeah,
I want to ask you we've already. Record. I pushed record already, by the way. But I mean, like, I wanted to ask, like, because to you in the podcast, like my podcast, for example, what is some where you're like, what are the ones where you just listen to, and some where you're like, I don't want to listen to that. Like, be honest. Like, be honest with me here. Like, where you're just
Sure,
like,
I
ew.
don't like random. I'll be frank. I don't like random rambling and pessimistic attitude about dentistry.
Okay,
And I don't know. There are people that go into dental school thinking maybe that this is going to be a nice cushion job, like medicine, where maybe there's a guaranteed salary. You come out, and this is what you're expected to make. And dentistry is not like that at all.
yeah.
And I've known that just because I've been in dentistry since 17. I've shadowed a ton of dentists. I've been a pediatric dental assistant for so long, seeing different offices. I just knew, like, a lot of it's just driven by leadership about the dentists and how they run their office. And you kind of are captain of your own ship. So it's just, there's no guarantees in anything.
Gotcha.
And I really don't like pessimistic attitudes about dentistry and just random rambling and not taking the stuff seriously, because it is a private practice, it's a business, and you can't be just making a lot of mistakes and goofing around. So
Yeah, that's true.
yeah, I don't know, man. I'll be honest with you. I feel like some of the guests that have come on, they just kind of ramble and there's complaining about stuff, and it's like, hey, it's a startup. What did you expect? It's not going to be
Yeah.
easy, right? It's going to be a tough road, but we're so blessed to be in a profession where the market and the society sees this as something that's valuable,
Yeah.
and it's our jobs to not make it seem like a commodity. It's healthcare at the end of the day, and some
Yeah.
dentists, I think, just try to make this into purely a sales and commodity, and not treat it as like a specialty service that we're providing
No, yeah. I get you,
for
man.
the
I get
market.
you. I get
So
you. I get you. I get you. Okay, got it. That's
yeah, but
good.
you
That's
know
a good
what? I was
perspective.
actually listening to one of your podcasts that I really loved listening to, was the Front Office Rocks one.
Ah, with
I
Laura
listened to
Hatch.
that this morning. Yeah, I scrolled through. I found that podcast. Like, I need to listen to this one, because that's something I'm considering, is even more training and coaching for my front office team and back office team. So
Yeah, she's doing good. That's
yeah.
something I've been thinking about doing. Like, tell me if you think this is a good idea. Or you're just like, nah, Michael, shut up. So like, I was thinking to make like a segment. I started with the YouTube. I don't know if you saw that, where it was like ground marketing. I basically just put a camera to myself, and you saw me do the tactics, right? Like one or two tactics, and you saw how I got like name and numbers. But I was thinking to do that on the podcast because it's a bigger audience. But then I'm like, I don't know how, like, if people, that sounds like I'm just like trying to sell my own stuff. You know what I mean? Instead of like share. So I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think there's definitely a segment of the population of dentists who need type skills of just how to build relationships, how to just talk to a stranger, and it is something you need training with. Like, I still need to work with that. Like, even though I think I have my EQ is way higher than my IQ, but I'm always trying to get better at that as well. So and then there's only so much time in the day, so we have to pick and choose where we choose to allocate our time into our own training.
That's true, that's true.
So there's I think you'll definitely have dentists that will buy your product, because they know that that's their weakness, is that they're not good at communicating and just talking to a stranger and developing a relationship and making them their patients. So yeah, I see value in that.
I don't know, it's just a thought. It's a thought I had, but I don't know. Maybe it might be like
Yeah.
ground marketing segment was like 10 minutes long or something, 5 minutes. I don't know. Who knows? But all right, man. So it's been about, when was the last time we recorded? It was not that long ago. It was quite like half a
I
year
was just
ago.
trying to think of that too. I tried. Yeah, I think it's been probably over 6 months, right? Since we did the first one.
Yeah, since we did the
Yeah.
first one. And you were young and white. No, I'm just kidding, man. You were good. Like, it was good. I remember. What? How big is your team now? Let me ask that.
I have five people on my team. I have two people up front and three in the back.
What are they? Like,
So I have
specifically.
a dedicated patient and insurance coordinator. And I'll give her a shout out. Her name is Beth. And then I have Marie, who's our treatment plan and financial coordinator. And then in the back, we have three RDAs. We have Kenzie, Christina, and Paula. And Paula, actually, interestingly enough, she used to be up front. She used to be one of the patient and insurance coordinators, but her passion is to eventually become a dentist. So she chose to get her RDA license. And now I'm training her in the back to become a pediatric, RDA assistant in the back. So, and then, and Kenzie comes with experience, and Christina brings lots of experience as well, because she used to be a marketing director at Chick-fil-A. So they all have interesting backgrounds.
Yeah.
But I have a fun team. Yeah, it's good.
What, since then, since now till the last time we recorded, have you had to let anybody go?
Oh, yeah.
So, how did that go? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's bound to happen, yeah. So, I mean, one of the first people, out of my two employees that started off with me, one of them is still with me, and that's Beth. The other one, unfortunately, I had to let go of. And you know what the funny thing is, Michael? I knew from the beginning that this may not work out with this one employee. But I was so desperate when I first started off and I opened up, I couldn't find the right person. And because I had a past history with this employee in residency, she was one of our dental assistants at the school. And I knew she had years of just pediatric experience. So I knew from a technical standpoint, she's amazing. Like you can't get somebody better than that. But just as a team player and just other skills, just showing up on time, just being a good team player, on those aspects, I knew that this would be a good fit for the practice work culture that I'm trying to create. So that was one of my employees I had to let go. And then I tried hiring somebody right out of RDA school, somebody really young, but she had a good passion for working with children. I could feel that. But she wasn't coachable, and she didn't want to put in the work and the time. So I had to let her go during the 90-day at-will period. So
how do you let people go? Like, how did you let her go?
I always do it as a coach and not make it sound like I'm the boss in here. I start off the conversation letting them know that you are being let go. So this conversation is about being let go. But then I tell them that please listen to everything I'm telling you during this conversation, because I don't want this to be all bad, because I want this to be a growing experience for you.
Yeah.
And I tell them that I've been let go so many times. I've been fired, and I use the white foot because I've been fired so many times in the past as a high school kid and college kid. My first job as a Cumon teacher, a tutor, I would fall asleep grading kids' papers. And they had video documentation of me falling asleep. So I throw a little joke in there, letting them know that I grew from that. I saw the value of taking your job seriously. So every time I've been let go, I learned something from it. Mm-hmm. So I tell the employee that I'm letting go of that, hey, I want you to see this as something that, yes, you're being let go, but I want you to learn something from this. And I also make it very clear that I like them as a person, because this is strictly business for me. The decision I'm making today does not reflect my relationship with you as a person. And I make that very clear, because that is very important for me, because anybody that I hire them because I know they're a good person. And then I'm hoping, based on their resume and what they're telling me, that they'll be a good fit for my work culture. And, sometimes it may not work out, but at the end of the day, even during that parting relationship, I still like them as a person.
Yeah.
So it's never a character reflection. It's just not working out as a work-wise. So that's kind of how I manage that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I have it in writing, specific reasons why I'm letting this person go, so that there's no confusion as to why they're being let go. And prior to that conversation of letting somebody go, I do a verbal warning and 1 to 2 written warnings. So every time an incident happens, they know exactly why this is a big deal, and why we're writing about this, why we're talking about this. And aside from letting somebody go, once a month, I do a monthly check-in, and it's usually on a Friday, one Friday a month. But yeah, it's usually the last Friday of the month. Every single employee gets to have a monthly check-in with me, and we spend time just sitting together, and I talk about how their life is going, how the past month has been for them, because this is a startup at the end of the day, and it's crazy. Like, each person's doing the job of 2 to 3 people. So I asked them, hey, is something getting overwhelming? And that's when I really talk about how they're doing, how their roles are going, and things that they need to improve on or whatnot. So I'm always giving feedback during these monthly reviews. So the way I look at it, people should know how they're doing in a company based on these monthly reviews.
So
there's really no surprises, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. Two questions from that. Like, rewind it a little bit, and then do you ever get, say, for example, you're firing me, right? Or you're letting me go.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, hey, I just want to let you know I'm going to let you go. And then, you know, you tell me it's not about, like, you know, you as a person, it's the business. Do you ever get people who say, like, no, I can be better. Like, and just give me one more chance. Or nah, you don't get that.
I haven't had that happen to me yet.
They're just kind of like owning it. They're just like, oh, okay,
you,
I got it.
Usually they kind of, they usually just kind of stay quiet. They'll listen. And then at the end, if the person's been just kind of quietly listening the entire time and I haven't really gotten any pushback, I'll usually ask, like, hey, I've been talking this entire time. I want to give you 10 to 15 minutes, how much overtime you need. I want to be the one to listen, and I want to hear from your words. What are your thoughts about this? You know, and after I give that opportunity, I let them know, like, you know, if there's anything I can do to help you grow as a person, let me know, you know, because aside from dentistry, I asked them, like, what are your thoughts about your life down the road? Do you see yourself in dentistry still? Because being an RDA, being a front office coordinator, entrance coordinator, financial coordinator in a private practice is a very tough job. It requires so many different skill sets. So I don't think it's for everybody. Yeah. I really don't. Just like owning a practice, I don't think it's for everybody. And unfortunately, I think, I can ramble on this forever, but I feel like so many dentists coming out of school, they equate success to financial success, which is a terrible thing to have in your brain, that success is all about financial success. And in America, I think that's just how success is perceived. In America, it's perceived as financial success and not just everybody has a different definition of success, and mine's a little different. But yeah, so I think when I'm having that parting conversation, I really try to figure out, can I help them to maybe pursue a different career track or different avenue? And I have connections in different industries, so maybe I can help them out in restaurants or something like that, or if they're interested going educational route, something. Yeah. So yeah. I want to still help them figure something out. So
you know what? Like, I kind of forgot. Sorry, like, you're probably gonna be like, man, Michael, you're such a jerk. But it was in September when we recorded, right? But now, like, that you're talking, I'm remembering, like, dang, man, I forgot how, like, good of a person you are. Like, for real, like, you still would want to help. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people kind of think, like, yeah, I want to help you out, but, oh, man, if it kind of goes out of my way, I don't know. You know what I mean? In the sense, like, I'm letting you go, I still have to keep tabs on you. You know what I mean? So, but you're the type of person who still wants to help them out. How does the end of the month go, man? Like, the last Friday month check-ins, do you ever get people who just kind of, like, complain too much?
No, I actually, I mean, it sounds really cheesy, but I don't get people that complain in my office. They're all looking forward to that last Friday of the month. We control our schedule. We micromanage our schedule. So I don't micromanage my team. I do keep in check with what they're doing with their time, but we really micromanage our schedule. So our schedule is awesome. Like, every hour of the day, everybody knows we block out our schedule specifically for a certain type of procedure. So on Fridays, it's typically either in-office anesthesia day, or I'm at the hospital, or it's one of these kind of Fridays where we're all at the office and we're doing just team training, team bonding, if it's this particular Friday, we're doing our monthly check-ins. And everybody's actually just excited because they want to tell me what's going on in their personal life, how much they've maybe grown this past month. And now what we're doing is we're combining the monthly check-in Fridays with our team lunch. So one day a month, and ever since I've opened doors, I take the team out for lunch. And that's where we all just kind of get to hang out, step outside the office, go somewhere to eat. And so now we just combine the two. We do the monthly check-ins with the team lunch. So everybody's excited because we're all going to go out to eat.
Yeah.
After I like the that. Monthly check-ins, yeah.
I like that, yeah. Man. So right now, you're like super busy all the time. And last time we spoke, you were going to get married, right? You proposed, you had a fiance. How?
Yeah, man, you have a good memory. I proposed in February of 2018. And so this month, end of June, we're having our Indian ceremony. So we're going to have two weddings. One is going to be the Indian ceremony here in Houston. And one's going to be a Christian ceremony in Iceland. And that's going to be in October.
Whoa, in Iceland?
Yeah, we're going to do a small ceremony in Iceland. And that's just for immediate family and really close friends.
Oh, so I guess I'll be getting my RSVP in the mail pretty soon. Got it. No worries. I've always wanted to go to Iceland, so I'm finally got a reason.
I always joke with Alyssa that I want to do a vlog of the whole thing. There'll definitely be videos and stuff to show the landscape and hopefully the Northern Lights experience in Iceland. That's one of the things I'm really excited about.
I like
being
how,
able to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah. I like how you totally use that to deviate from the question of me getting my invite. But whatever, man. Whatever. No, it's okay. Dude, that's going to be exciting. Hey, if you don't mind me asking, how is the wedding, the Indian one you said, how does that go?
So Indian weddings can be one day to 1 week, depending on the part of India you're from. The part of India I'm from, it's not a multiple day type ceremony. Okay. So we're just doing it one day, and everything is going to be taken care of one day. And it's not going to be, have you ever been to an Indian wedding before?
No, but I've seen some. Like, I have some Indian friends, so, like, I've seen some. But...
So some are really fancy, yeah. Some are really fancy. I mean, ours is definitely going to be fancy, but it's not like I'm going to be coming in on a horse or an elephant or anything crazy.
cool.
So, it'll be a nice ceremony and reception.
Okay, yeah. That's cool, man. That's cool.
And then I'm coming back to the office, so I'm not taking any time off.
Having a honeymoon?
For the Indian wedding. We're not going to go on a honeymoon after the Indian ceremony. Just because we'll be in summertime still, you know. So we've got to keep the office open because kids are out of school. So, yeah, we're going to be busy with patients. So we're going to take our honeymoon in October after the Christian ceremony in Iceland. We'll fly into Europe and just travel all over Europe. So in October, I'm really excited because I'm going to have a good friend of mine who's a pediatric dentist as well. He's going to be running the office while I'm gone for 3 weeks.
Nice, man. That's so cool.
Yeah. So he actually came this past Saturday to our office to meet my team, and I started introducing him to my existing patients to kind of let everybody know, like, hey, he's a close friend of mine who I trust who will be taking care of you guys while I'm away. Mm-hmm. And I really just develop a relationship with all the parents, not just the kids at our office. Mm-hmm. So I openly share this kind of stuff with our parents, and they're genuinely happy. So they don't mind the fact that I'll be leaving for 3 weeks, and I could feel that they like him. So that's reassuring that it's okay for me to step away, and everything's gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So then let's get into that, man, because for the people who don't remember, don't know, or like the new listeners, right? Bijik has you have a pediatric Stonebrook, right? Stonebrook,
yes,
pediatric dentistry in Texas.
Yeah, so I'm in a suburb of Dallas called Frisco, and Frisco. Yeah, we're in Texas.
Wow, man, you know what? Frisco's been popping. Like, there's been so many. Like, I've jumped on.
Oh, it's busy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dental practices in Frisco. Frisco, McKinney, Plano. They're probably the three busiest suburbs when it comes to dental practices, startup dental practices.
I know Frisco, like, I want to say every week now, I've jumped on a call with a practice who's, like, from Frisco. And I'm like, whoa, like you guys are right next to each other and y'all don't. But anyways, man. So like, it's been like about a year since you've opened. It's almost a year since we last spoke. Like maybe short a couple months, right? Because it was in September since we last spoke. Besides the employees, right? Like, what have you learned? What are you kind of like, holy crap, if I knew this before, if I only knew this a week before, this would have been so much better. Like, what are some pitfalls you've experienced and some wins?
You know, the biggest one for me would have to be not watching my numbers. And this is going to blow a lot of people's, I think, minds away, because I am, I do care about the numbers, but I love what I do so much. I love just being with kids. And I don't mean to sound cocky by any means, but I know that I'm a good pediatric dentist because I worked really hard at it. I didn't have the best hand skills. I'll be the first one to say it. I just knew that I have this God-given gift of just having kids like me. The kids that have had maybe bad experiences, other dental practices, they come into our office and I can win them over within 5 minutes usually. But I knew my hand skills are something I had to work on. And even in residency, any dentist that's listening knows that class two composites is something that's tough. And for me, that was one of the hardest things I had to master and get better at. And I openly share this with everybody because that was one of my weaknesses, and I knew that I had to get better at it, faster at it. So I really concentrated a lot on my clinical skills, and once I got better at my clinical skills, I take so much pride in just doing a lot of dentistry. I knew that if I do enough dentistry, I just concentrate on the dentistry. I figured the numbers and the management side of things just work itself out, and it never does. So that's something. I think any private practice owner needs to just understand the fact that regardless of how many new patients are walking in through the doors and how much dentistry you're getting to produce, you still need to look at your numbers and you still have to have a game plan of where do you want to go from month to month, even if you're a startup. Because, you know, all of us that are doing startups, we have this mentality like, I just need to grow. I just need to keep seeing new patients. I just need to keep helping people in order to continue producing and continue collecting. But that's really not it. There's a lot more thought into it. Scaling up is really an art, and that's what I've come to appreciate, is that everybody wants to have new patients, but do you have systems in place to accommodate all those new patients? What are you going to do when multiple patients want 9 a.m.? What are you going to do, you know, if you have an emergency that gets thrown in while you have an oral sedation going on? How are you going to manage that conversation? Or how is your front office team going to manage that conversation? So these are just, I think I understood the value of systems, but I wish I maybe got the training myself. Even though I had a consultant, I still need even more help, I feel like, to implement those systems and train every single team member to understand why those systems are important.
So I was just going to ask really fast, like, what systems then did you have to learn to implement and into place?
Oh man, there's so many systems. I mean, there's just the art of how to have a conversation with a brand new patient. And when I say patients, since I'm a pediatric office, I'll just say parents. Those are the people we're having conversations with on behalf of their kids. So quickly having that phone conversation, because this phone conversation of scheduling a new patient, it used to take us a lot longer than it really needs to be. So just really honing in on what specific questions we need to ask, how to guide that conversation. So that's one aspect of just to bring a patient on, that systems involved in that. Insurance coordination wise, we have a system for that, how we verify our insurance benefits, and then how that gets put into the computer, and then how our back office team is responsible for looking at the frequencies so we know exactly what's covered and there's no financial surprises for our parents. And then there's other systems like inventory checklists, who's in charge of inventory biweekly, who's going to be in charge of our emergency manual to make sure all of our emergency drugs are not outdated. There's OSHA and HIPAA compliance. There's so many compliances we have to keep up date with. And I used to try to do it all. And that's another, I think, a lesson I wish I just grasped and understood earlier, is like, you can't do it all. Like, you really can't. And I love to do it all, but I've realized that I can't be everywhere at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to pick about three things that I want to concentrate on, and the rest I got to delegate and outsource. So just going back to your question, what I wish I knew, or what I wish I knew earlier on, is that the numbers are important even when your practice isn't earning much. And then systems are super important, and everybody knows that, like, systems are important, but actually really understanding how to teach those systems and implement them in a tactful, you can't just come to your morning huddle and just tell your team, hey, we're going to implement these new 50 systems all in one day. It has to be done like one at a time, like one at a week, one time at a week. So you got to figure out which systems are the most important to you.
At the time, right?
And just slowly incorporate so you don't overwhelm your team. Those are some few things. I think if I could go back in time, I wouldn't stress about the little things and really understand the bigger picture stuff.
Okay, so the little things. So then, yeah. Really quick, when you said delegating, were you like not delegating because of you're like, okay, I want to control it, I know the best way? Or were you not delegating because you're like, that means I'm going to have to pay somebody to do this, and I don't got the cash flow, or I'm not making enough to do that. I don't think I am, because you didn't know the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you say it's more of?
It was definitely both. It was definitely both. Part of it was I just felt like the person that I've already brought on for a few specific front office tasks, maybe I'm overwhelming them. If I put on more work on them, and honestly, all I should have done is just have a frank conversation and ask them, hey, I'm having a hard time doing X, Y, and Z. Do you mind taking on this additional role? And I will make sure you get financially compensated for your time. If I had done that a long time ago, I think I could have delegated more just from the beginning. And not month nine, you know, like 9 months in, now I'm starting to like delegate a lot more and being a lot more hands off.
Do you feel like that's bringing in more profit or revenue delegating, or do you just feel like it's streamlining better?
It's streamlining better, and it's allowed me to really concentrate on the bigger picture stuff. Because before I wouldn't have time to go out and make friendships and relationships with other healthcare providers in the area at all. Right before opening the office doors, I stopped at all the general dentist's offices just to introduce myself. And usually I was their front office coordinator or their patient coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But I never went back. I never went back to continue building that relationship. So now I'm finally able to do some of that myself. I'm able to delegate some of that, and I love, I'll tell you the things that I really love to do. I love to do dentistry. I love to see kids and do that aspect. But from a business standpoint, I love to look at the numbers and look at projections and looking at KPI reports,
mm-hmm.
to figure out what categories I need to improve on. And then I try to figure out what can I do to improve on those. And I love the marketing aspect. I know marketing sometimes has a bad connotation in healthcare, but the way I look at it is, unless people know who you are and what you do, how are you going to serve them to the highest level, right? So it's just, so I'm really big on meeting as many people as I can. And now I finally have the time to do that. Before I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what were the little things that you didn't, that you worried about, where you were like, little things, I wish I worried less about that?
The little things, like cleaning up the office, you know, cleaning up the office. When in reality, I should have just hired somebody day one to clean the office. you know, and because I never made my dental assistants or front office team ever clean the office. So some of that I'd be doing myself, or Alyssa, my fiance, we'd be doing that ourselves. And it's kind of funny just talking about it. It's like, man, why didn't I just hire somebody to do all that from the beginning?
Yeah, that's, but it's kind of like
the best use of my time.
You're trying to cut corners because, like, man, I think it's – why do you think it is? I feel like it's more like, holy crap, I'm in a lot of debt, and I don't got the money to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. So I'm going to try and save wherever I can. That's what I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think my head was clouded too, because just going through the construction aspect, Michael – like you're just, you feel defeated at the end of all that. It's like, you know, a lot of us, this is probably the first time we're going through a big construction project. For me, it was. I did small remodeling projects for my old house that I bought back in 2017. But this is my first true big scale project that I was totally on my own, you know, and you have to develop relationships and connections with so many different vendors, contractors, IT companies, getting the bank loan, and then during the construction time period, making sure everything is happening in a timely manner. So doing that while you're associating, and I was associating 6 days a week at that time, you're just like just mentally exhausted after all that, and my mind was literally just clouded for a good month or two after the doors opened. So I wasn't thinking straight. I was just kind of going through the motion and cleaning the office or doing just random, sometimes admin tasks that I shouldn't be doing. I should have been just concentrating more on relationship building, because any specialty practice, or even for general dentistry practices, dentistry is just all about relationships, you know, and the more you can get invested and involved in your community and the people around you in your area, they know who you are and what you stand for.
So, the better office, Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah. Are you still associating or not?
Yeah, I still associate. And I'm proud to say I don't have to associate, but I love doing hospital dentistry so much. In order to keep my privileges, I do 2 days a month associating for a group practice that I'm still a part of. And that way I get to keep up my speed and my skill set in the operating room, because it is a different skill set to be in the operating room.
Got you. They know you have your own practice, right?
Yeah, and they knew that. When I joined that group practice, they knew going in that I was starting my own practice, and they brought me on specifically for the harder procedures like oral sedations and hospital cases. So they knew that I was pretty much a hired contractor to do those kind of cases, and then I was starting my own practice.
Awesome, man. That's cool. Right now, what would you say has been like, or you're getting 100 new patients a month, so like talk to us about like your best ROI, what's been like the worst ROI, and what are you, like, what are you currently doing?
I'm happy to talk about this, and I hope I can save a lot of people a lot of money. Here we go. Okay. So I started off with flyers. All right, and I'll flat out say it. If you're in McKinney, Frisco, Plano, or any suburb outside Texas in your respective state that is moderately to highly saturated, don't even waste your money with flyers, I think, personally. We live in a digital world where people are on Facebook, Instagram, Yelp, Google, and that is the modern word of mouth, right? I feel like the most common word of mouth is obviously just talking from one person to another, but social media is the new word of mouth. So I think marketing dollars are better spent on Facebook, Google, and those platforms, especially for dentistry, more than the flyers, because I had a consulting firm that helped oversee the startup, and they were really pushing for the flyers, and I didn't really fight for it. So I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. Let's drop the 10 grand and see how these flyers do.
Dang,
About 3 months in, it was a total waste. You know, they kept saying, hey, just wait it out. It just takes time. Marketing takes time. But then end of month three, I made the decision to call marketing company that we were doing flyers with and just cancel it and then recoup just $3,000 out of the $10,000 I spent on flyers.
Wow.
And, you know, the flyers were all tracking and all that extra fancy stuff, but it wasn't a good payout. The best thing I did was just being transparent and being myself and doing the videos, doing the Facebook Live videos prior to the office opening.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the first one I did. I want to say it was 2 months out. And those videos made a huge difference for me. And that's what really got us to start getting parents to start messaging us. They would send Facebook message about, hey, when are you guys opening up? And Alyssa and I would respond back ourselves, giving them the estimated mm-hmm. day we'd be opening up. And I think I talked about this during my first podcast. I used LocalMed from the beginning.
Yeah.
Abomic. We used LocalMed, and we use Open Dental Management Software. So on a laptop, I had Open Dental server and LocalMed synced in, taking appointments prior to opening, just like a lot of other practices are now mm-hmm. doing. But the marketing via Facebook and Instagram helped us a lot. And the videos, just doing frequent posts on construction, how things are going, and then just being consistent with it. Because with social media marketing, you have to be consistent, and you have to, I think, just be yourself and not do cookie cutter posts. Just having no stock photos, you know, just having authentic content. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. You know, a lot of times it could be just the simple stuff that's happening in your office, but it should provide some level of value.
Yeah.
If it's not providing any value, why should they waste their time watching it?
Hey guys, gonna do something a little weird here and spit some truth to ya. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable. So here we go. This is something you already know. Something maybe you probably hear every day, but here it goes anyways. Most patients, as you and I know, don't really want to go to the dentist that much. They see it as expensive, scary, and possibly even painful. It's either an emergency sometimes, most times it's either an emergency actually if you think about it, or an item to check off their to-do list. Not really something they want to do all the time. But you know all of that already, so why am I bringing it up? Because if you can realize that most patients are checking something off their to-do list, you can use that to your advantage. Most patients say convenience is the number one reason they choose a dentist. If you appeal to that desire for your convenience, you'll have the competitive edge. Think about it. Your patients are booking flights, getting rides, and even earning degrees online. But to check that dentist appointment off their to-do list, they either have to play the phone tag with your front desk during their work hours, or they have to quote-unquote request an appointment online. They can book flights online, they can get rides online, and they can do it instantly. So why should they have to request a dental appointment? Real online scheduling appeals to their need for convenience, which means more patients choose you, which means your schedule stays full. And when it comes to online scheduling, there's nobody better than LocalMed. LocalMed was built to deliver a modern solution to a decades-old problem. Since they're completely integrated into each practice's PMS, patients can see what appointments are available in real time and then schedule them directly into your system according to rules that you set. So you always stay in control. This means no phone tag with the front desk, no double booking, and no losing patients to the other dental office down the street. LocalMed works exactly like booking a flight. Your patients see the time that they want, they click it, and they get it. Boom, that's it. That's the way online scheduling should be. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. Try it for yourself today by visiting localmed.com/dentist. Tell them I sent you, or tell them you heard them from the Dental Marketer podcast and get 10% off your setup fee today. Or go in the show notes below, click on the LocalMed logo or the LocalMed link, and you're able to find out more information, schedule a demo, and let them know that I sent you, and you still get 10% off your setup fee. So go in the show notes below and check out LocalMed. Cookie cutter posts. That's new, man. What does that mean? Like, just stock photos or what?
like smile, it's Monday, like, you know, stuff like that.
I feel like you had that one in like the tank. Yeah, smile, it's Monday.
I hope I don't sound like a prick when I'm saying this, but this is just how my brain works, and I'd rather be transparent. You know, so whenever I'm not doing dentistry, I love to learn, and I just love to, you know, make the most out of my time.
Yeah.
So as a consumer, so if I'm watching something, if it's purely for entertainment, sure, that has its own place. But if I'm checking out somebody's business, or if it's healthcare related, maybe I'll give you an example. Like for dentistry, if I'm watching something, if it's not providing some level of value, like, huh, that's interesting, or it doesn't get me to think, I don't know if I would continue watching. I think I would just continue scrolling or move on to the next thing.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's interesting. I like that. I like that. Okay, so the flyers, flyers slash mailers, right? That's what that is. Flyers slash mailers.
Yeah, flyers and mailers. I don't do those anymore. Stopped that after 3 months in, and then the rest of the time, marketing wise, a lot of it's been ground, and I forgot to hit on that. So besides online, you know, the Google, the Facebook, Instagram, Yelp, the biggest ROI is ground marketing. Just being a part of the community, making friends with the people in your community. And that's going to be a startup office's best asset, is just getting heavily involved in the community.
Yeah.
And I wish... you know, it sounds simple, but it is a lot of work. And now that's another thing I have more time for, because before I was just so caught up in other admin tasks that I wasn't making the time to develop just deep relationships with people where our practice is located.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, that's huge, I think. Getting involved with your local schools, helping the kids out. So being a pediatric office is helping the kids out, helping communities where you know a lot of your patients come from.
Mm-hmm.
So little things like that is a great way to get your name out. Yeah,
gotcha. Okay, so that's good, man. That's good. The ROI has been pretty good so far. Right now, what would you say, like, has your overhead, like, your bottom line and top line, has that drastically changed? Is it getting better, worse, same?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely spend a lot on a bit for the practice. In my personal life, I don't spend much. You know, I'm pretty modest for my personal expenses, mm-hmm. but for the practice, I'm constantly doing more, getting more, and investing more into my team, just because I feel like that's the best way to exponentially grow the practice, is the more I invest back. So yeah, my overhead is high, but I think that's for any startup. So I don't like some other startup owners, I don't get bummed out about my overhead percentages right now, because I know where my end goal is and where I'm headed. And we're on the right track. Our collections just keep going up. And So, I'm not worried about the overhead percentages as much, but it is important to track it, though. I think it's good to know where you stand,
mm-hmm.
and acknowledge the fact that, hey, this is obviously not a good metric, but if you have a game plan of where you are planning on taking your practice and where you're hoping to change those metrics down the road, then it's okay.
So you're past the point of breaking even, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. We were there. I can't remember what month it was. It's probably around. Man, I can't even remember. Actually, you know what? Hey, let me look at this real quick. I use a company called Divergent Dental.
Ooh. Okay.
They helped me. Yeah. It's awesome. I don't get paid by them or anything like that, but they're an awesome company to get KPI reports for your practice. So, January. Yeah, January is when we got past the break-even point.
Break-even point. Okay, and so you're making more than enough to like pay yourself then, right?
Yeah, to pay. And break-even point, just to explain, are monthly bills. not, you know, obviously the fact is dead, but yeah, just paying the monthly bills. And the funny thing is, now that we're a year in, obviously my bank note, before I was just paying on the interest, not the principal. So now that's going to go up. Anyway, doing it through BOA, it's around $2,300 your first year, which is great because you're able to not stress about having to pay your bank loan. You're just concentrating on the interest. And now the principal is going to be taken into account as well. So it's going to be probably $6,500. And I can't remember, I don't know the exact number, but probably around there.
Yeah. Dang, man. But at least you're growing though. So right now with, I mean, like so many questions, like right now. So for example, with the numbers that you're making and everything, how do you have projected when you're going to be paying your startup off?
Oh, projected when I will have the startup paid off?
Yeah.
I'm hoping within 5 years.
Okay, that's good, man. You're good. Then you're on track. Yeah. You're doing really good then, huh? Wow. Man.
I mean, I don't know if I will or not, but that's my goal. You know, anything can happen. I really don't enjoy talking too much about specific financial goals, because honestly, man, like anything can happen, right? Like if something happens to my hands, I can't do dentistry anymore, and then those projections totally get thrown off. Mm-hmm. A death happens in the family, mentally and emotionally I'm not in the right mindset anymore. So I can't do the level of dentistry that I am doing now or that I will be doing down the road. So there's so many factors. For me, it's like just enjoying the journey, enjoying the road, and managing my weekly stresses. I think that's really what I concentrate on.
Yeah.
And man, I'll be honest. I've already won this game, I guess. I see it as a game. Mm-hmm. And I talked a little bit about it during my last podcast with you. I had a lot of anxiety. I went through a lot of depression. Growing up, I was bullied. I went through racism. You know, those things were a much harder thing to overcome. This isn't rocket science. Like this, I know I'm on the right track, and I'm going to make a big impact in my community when the time comes. But for me, this is just more about just having fun, doing the right thing, always being a good ethical dentist. Because I've worked in practices where I didn't agree with the billing practice, I didn't agree with the treatment planning. Mm-hmm. And I would get thrown under the bus if I thought outside the box and decided to save a tooth where maybe the other three dentists didn't think the same way I did.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, this is fun, and I get to do things my way, and I see, and what I do is art. I see myself as an artist. That's why in the beginning I didn't really think about the numbers that much, because I just knew that if I delivered the best pediatric dentistry, the experience, I will always have new patients coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that still holds true. Like I don't on a day-to-day basis worry about number of new patients, how we're doing collection-wise. I look at it, and that's something I want to talk to you about morning huddles too. Like I do things a little differently than what most consultants and I think probably most people that do morning huddles talk mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you do them?
I don't make it production related at all. I really cater it about the patient. So we go through, I assign columns to each assistant in the back, and they rotate through the columns. In a traditional practice, usually like one assistant is their lead op assistant, and they're always doing ops. I make sure that everybody becomes a leader in my office, whether it's the front or the back. And for the back office team, I want everybody to get really good at the pediatric operative procedures, whether it's nitrous treatment, sedation appointments, in-office anesthesia cases. Everybody needs to be good at everything in the back. So I rotate through the columns, and they can remote in or before they leave for the day, review the following days and hopefully start doing the following weeks. Go through the patient charts and look at any kind of notes that we need to keep in mind, mm-hmm. Special accommodations. for patients that are autistic or have sensory motor issues. So then we know like what kind of toys to take out for those kids or which kind of room they need to be in. And then also insurance wise, my assistants are now, this is something new we've incorporated, they review the frequencies. Like how often are they eligible for fluoride, x-rays, what kind of x-rays? So they write notes out. So the assistants in the back are kind of, so we review that during the morning huddle. And then we'll review also emergencies for the day, emergencies, and we get a lot of second opinions and consultations. So are the x-rays already there? Do we need to take the x-rays? Are the x-rays accounted for in the image folders? And then any kind of backstory or history for our emergency patients that we need to all be aware of. Because I know that for myself, when I go to, to give you an example, my hair guy. So I'm balding, but I'm so lucky to keep my hair.
Yeah.
Because I have a hair guy. In the past, I've had appointments where you're literally telling your story to every single person who's a part of that practice. And it's like the entire team's not in sync and everybody doesn't know your story. You have to constantly go over, okay, this is what my issue is. So we make sure that the entire team knows on the front end when the emergencies come in, exactly why they're coming in, what their chief complaint is, so that they don't have to repeat their story. Everything that we already know why they're coming to our office. So we go through that kind of stuff in the morning huddle, and just one day of the month, the last day of the month, I tell the entire team our collection, what we collected. And I'm proud to say, man, this month I gave a bonus out to my team.
Nice.
Because they hit their goals.
What are your collections looking like right now, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so let me look at the KPI report. So our income, what we collected this past month, was $50,130. And the net production was actually very low. It was $32,077.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what's, like, the bonuses look like? Like, you don't have to tell me, like, it's this much, but, like, just, like, a percentage, or how do you do your bonuses?
So I'm actually going to be going into profit sharing. So that's what I'm creating, or not creating, really, just reading everybody else's systems of how they do profit sharing, and I'm about to incorporate profit sharing into the office. So that way, all the hard work and the energy my people put into the office, they know that I'm always thinking about them, and they deserve to get a piece of the pie. Down the road, I do plan on doing some kind of 401k because I do care about them. I want their financial futures to be, at least they're putting something into their savings for their future. And then another thing is that I want to start giving back to the community also. I want the team to pick nonprofits where we can just give out checks or a donation to a cause that we all believe in. So
I like that, man.
Yeah, giving back is So that's and something fun is actually we're going to be doing pretty soon. So now it's a lot of fun. After having this practice for a year, and we're collecting, and it's not as volatile. We're about to be able to do some really fun things.
That's good. Right now, what would you say to you? Because at the beginning you said you might have a different meaning. Like, what's your meaning of success? Because you said you've already won. So, what is it?
My definition of success is making the most out of every single day, making the most out of my time, doing what I love to do every day, and spending it with those that I love and care about. That's my definition of success. It's not tied to money. And that's how it's always been for me. And I can happily say that I do that now every day. I work really hard, and it gets a little crazy because I want to do so much, and I'm lucky to have a fiance who just gets me. And so it's funny, she'll tell me, like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, nobody's putting this pressure on you. Like, and I don't even know how to describe this feeling. It's just like yeah, I don't know how to describe this feeling. I just feel like I'm obligated to just push myself to the max.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a speaker and a podcast I listen to, and his name's Ed Milet, and I absolutely love what Ed Milet says about when the day comes he meets God, he doesn't want God to say, this is what you could have become, but you didn't push yourself, and you didn't become the man I expected you to become.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's a big part of why I drive and push myself, because there was a time in my life that I wasn't happy, man. I was depressed, anxious, and I had suicidal thoughts. And I don't take a day. Every day I make the most of it, because I'm so thankful to be alive, and I get to see how many other kids' lives I get to impact, and the people on my team that I get to impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have gotten to do any of this, right? So it's just it's a blessing that I found God, and it's a huge blessing that I get to live out my dreams, and I get to be myself at all times.
Yeah, man. You're right. Because I feel there's so many things we can stress out about. You know what I mean? Like, there's limitless things. Like, we can choose to focus on that.
Yeah, you can stress out about your patients. You can stress about, and that's another thing. I just want to go ahead and say, since I'm getting this time on the podcast, is like, man, if you're not liking your patients, just kick them out. Kick them out of your practice.
For real. No, you're for real.
I really mean it. I really mean it. Like, if they're causing such a headache for you, this is a private practice at the end of the day, and they're making the lives of your team miserable, you don't enjoy seeing them, just kick them out. You know, especially if you're in a suburb like where I am, where there's tons of dentists, they'll find a practice that they do enjoy going to.
Yeah. I think people are afraid to do that, though, sometimes because they're like, money, right? But that's where you kind of have to think, like, man, what's better, like your peace of mind, or like, mm-hmm. or like, oh, I have to see this person again, and then it's like, it makes the whole day worse. Dang, man.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, man. That's good. When did you, I know you talked to me about that before, where you were like, you stopped going to the gym and everything like that, but when was it when you were like having suicidal thoughts and depression?
That was back in high school. Yeah, that was my senior year of high school. I was just, and I've always had ADD, mm-hmm. so I've always had a hard time concentrating at school, and my mind is just I was always daydreaming. So I was never a strong student. I never just fit in with other Indian kids. I never fit in with just kids of other backgrounds, and just growing up different. Looking different, wearing clothes that are different. I had a hard time fitting in with groups and cliques of kids. I didn't fit in the nerdy crowd or the cool crowd or anything. So I've always been just like a lone wolf doing my own thing. It was really what got me out of the darkness is finding my purpose. And teaching kids martial arts is really what began that. When I got the opportunity to teach kids martial arts my senior year, I just saw that there's so much purity and goodness in kids' hearts, mm-hmm. that they don't have a chip on their shoulder. They haven't ever faced some of the darkness in our world, the world we live in. Their hearts are so pure, and they don't care what color you are, what your background is. They just know if they like you or not. They can feel it. Mm-hmm. Kids are big on energy, so they know, and I received that from kids. That's the blessing I received from kids when I was a high school student. I saw that, wow, I could be a leader. I could teach kids, and they listen to me, and I could be a mentor to them. And the other thing is, I had a little brother, so I knew that I couldn't do something stupid and end it all just because I have a little brother who looks up to me, who really cares about me. So that's really what kept me going, and I had a night where, and this is going to sound crazy, but I had a vision of exactly what I was meant to do with my life. And shortly afterwards, a few days later, at that karate class, a dad who was a pediatric dentist offered me a job as a dental assistant. So that's where I got to continue working with children, and it was working with children in a different way. It was helping them overcome some very anxious situations when it came to cavity treatment. And I quickly figured out that I'm really good at helping kids overcome a very anxious situation, which is dental treatment.
Oh, man. I like that. So you had a vision like that you were, you knew exactly it was pediatric, or were you like, oh, no, I'm just going to help children?
I knew I was meant to help children. I knew I was meant to become a doctor of some sort. And at the time I was shadowing just different disciplines of healthcare.
That's true.
But what drew me into pediatric dentistry is the private practice setting, that you get to kind of have your own little home where you get to practice the way you want, and you have autonomy of that. Obviously, insurance and all that are other factors, but we still have a fair amount of autonomy in our world, in dentistry, that some dentists take for granted. Like, we get to choose who our team is.
Yeah.
We get to choose who we hire, and we get to choose what kind of, what style of practice we want to have, whether it's out of network, in network, if you want to see Medicaid, fee for service, whatever. You know, you get to choose all those, make those decisions. You get to choose how your office looks like, where you want to establish your office. So these are all decisions that insurance can't take away from you. Kind of tying it back to what you were asking me when I was going through depression and all the bad stuff. Yeah, I was back in high school, and I want to make it a point that during this startup, probably 6 months ago, those bad thoughts started coming back, because I think at least guys and girls that are like me, I don't share a lot of stuff on Facebook. I don't jump on the Facebook threads a lot, because I don't like to waste time. It sounds really bad, but I don't like to read random stuff that's not going to affect my life and other people's opinions that, and I may disagree with their opinions. So what's the point of reading this stuff if it's going to upset me or it's not helping me make the most of my time?
I like that.
A lot of my friends aren't dentists. I don't have a lot of friends, but my closest friends aren't dentists. So I felt guilty sharing some of this startup journey stuff that I went through, because these are all problems that I created for myself. Nobody forced me to start a practice. So I felt guilty talking about this with anybody else besides my fiance, Alyssa. So I really appreciate her for it, because she gets to hear a lot of stuff that I don't share with anybody else. And I had a specific day, man. I had a mental breakdown, and she just kind of really helped me through it. She's like, you know what? You just need to talk out more with me, at least, what you're going through, so that you know that you're not alone.
Why did you have a mental breakdown though? Like on that day?
I was juggling so many things. I was, I'm deeply invested in the patients and the parents that come to our office, and they're really loyal to me, and I'm really loyal to them. That's the easiest way to put it. And I was trying to juggle a bunch of patients scheduled stuff wise, and then just business admin stuff. At that time, I was having a rough time with an employee that I eventually let go of, so the stress of that. Just marketing wise, I was trying to do some things. So, you know, it all sounds silly now thinking about it, but the heat of things, it was a lot. And then also wedding planning, right?
Two weddings.
I felt guilty for not being able to help out Alyssa and my family with some of the wedding planning stuff. So I just felt like I was failing in different area parts of my life. I was just trying to juggle so much. So around that same time period is when I made the decision, like, you know what, I need to just be more open with my team and start delegating more. And that's what I started to do. I started to delegate more, back off more, and just take time to reflect more. I was already journaling, but I take even more time now to just self-reflect and keep the mental health strong, because that's the most important thing.
You journal every day?
Just about every day, yeah.
I like that, man. I like that. I didn't need to go back. I was doing
And
bullet journaling,
it's nothing
but
crazy, you know. Like,
yeah.
yeah, my journaling, it's fun to read them going back because it's a fun documentation of what I was thinking that day. And some days were like worse than others, so it's fun to read like a really bad day compared to. And it's all perspective, you know. At the end of the day, none of this stuff is really that bad. There's people that have lost their limbs or lost their lives in war. You know, and what we're going through is it's not that bad. When you look at the big picture, but it's fun to see one of your personal bad days or what you think is a bad day, and then you're like, okay, you know what? Today wasn't that bad. And when I'm reading back to this day, and it's like, oh wow, a lot of stuff happened that day. So journal is a fun way to not only for mental health, but also a way to d document what you're going through in life.
Got you. I like that, man. Alrighty. Alrighty, Abhishek, man. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for I feel like we have to have you on like another time. Like you're just gonna be a regular guest, man, because we have a lot. Did you even talk about everything you wanted to talk about? Like I feel like there's always so much we have to talk about. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I actually wrote out a few things that I wanted to share with your listeners. And I'm just going to hit on one thing,
Do
which I
it, do it.
feel
Yeah,
like
let's
is
do it.
so super important. Yeah. I wrote it out, decision-making skills. I see a lot of times people tend to crowdsource every little decision when it comes to their startup. And I get it. You know, you don't want to make mistakes for something that you're investing so much money and time into. But there is a lot of value in making decisions on your own, even if you make the wrong decision, because people that don't work on this decision-making skill, and it's an art really, they tend to have more anxiety in their life. And I'm big on helping people overcome anxiety and depression, you know, and I really mean this. Unless you work on this decision-making skill, every little decision you have to make in your life will give you a level of anxiety. So you need to become a better decision maker, and the only way to do that is to practice it. So if you're constantly crowdsourcing every single little decision, the color, the sign, whether you should accept this insurance or not, how do you do this? Even asking about like, you know, like which company to use, and like there's a lot of value in doing your own research sometimes and letting your gut and your own intuition help you make those decisions. And the best part is, if you make a bad decision, you can always course correct and get back on track, because it's business at the end of the day. And we're lucky to be in dentistry where you can make mistakes along the way and still be okay. That is the best part. I mean, there aren't too many industries where you can make mistakes, have fun, and still be profitable. And I really mean that. So, all the dentists out there that are starting up an office or established, there's obviously value in masterminds and these groups, but for day-to-day stuff and the little stuff, I think it just go for it. Just make your own gut decision, do it, see how it works out, and don't sweat it.
I like that, man. I feel like I have an issue sometimes when it comes to decision making. Like even like when my wife's like, "What do you want to eat?" And I'm like, "Oh God, where do we want to eat?" I don't know. You know what I mean? But what I've been seeing on Facebook is, yeah, you're right. Like they ask every single
Every little thing, every
every
little thing. Yeah.
yeah. And lately I've been kind of like just off of Facebook
They
because it's
crowdsource and cra yeah, they crowdsource every little decision.
I know like
And not everybody does that, you know.
yeah
There's select people on the groups that are doing that,
it's
and I
annoying.
don't have the heart to just I don't have the heart to just type out, hey, I think this is something that you should make on your own. I just choose to not read it and just not participate as much, you know.
Do you have
Yeah.
the heart to type out what you just said, though, to the groups? Like as a separate post?
Sure, if you want me to, I can. Yeah. I mean, I
No.
don't think it'd be a good thing to say, just because it'll just it won't sit well with a lot of people, I think, if I really
But you got to hear it, though. Yeah. Like, that's why, like, it's so good that you said it on the podcast. I mean, like, I'm in the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group. It's going to be on there, obviously. But, I mean, it's a good thing you said it because, like, you're right. We do need to exercise, or else, like, whose practice are we building then? Mm-hmm. Like, are we
Yeah, exactly. The less decision-making that you're doing, the less of a business person you are, the less of a business owner you are. Because at the end of the day, being a I'm a clinician and a doctor, but I'm also a business owner, and the profitability of the practice and the business, a lot of it has been because of decision making. That's really the little part I'm getting paid for is making the good decisions. So if I'm crowdsourcing and crowdfunding all those decisions, that's going to affect a lot of how the practice does, I think. And at the end of the day, it's your vision, you know, it's your vision. And if you don't believe in your vision and what you're trying to do, somebody's going to hijack your vision if you just listen to other people's opinions all the time. And it's going to, you're going to be a part of their vision. And the whole purpose of doing a startup is to live out your vision and your dreams.
Wow, man.
So, but anyways, Michael, I feel like I could ramble. I could talk about this all day.
No, man, that's good. Anything else? Anything else you wanted to add or anything like that?
I don't know. How much time do we have? Is this okay?
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, it's good. It's good. This is going to be like one of the Just Listen segments. So if you feel like if you want to add something else, do it.
Another big one I think I'd like to share is be transparent with your team and show them your vision. I always did a good part about showing my vision to my team, but I wasn't the most transparent with my team in the beginning few months. And for startup owners, I think it's super important to constantly feed your employees your vision of what you have in mind, what you're trying to create. And I promise you that if you're doing a good job leading, they're going to make it their own vision. Because I've always believed this, you know, you don't have to have a vision. Having a vision is tough, man. Some people, it takes a long time to have a vision. But we all need to, in society and as human beings, we all need to find our purpose. I think that's really important to find your, regardless of what you believe in, you need to find your God-given purpose. Because unless you know your purpose, you don't know where you're going. So as an employee, you may not have a vision for what you're trying to do 5-10 years down the road, but if you find the right person to work for who has a vision and you believe in their vision, you can use your purpose and your skill set to ally with them, and then maybe you believe, and then you can make their vision a part of your vision. So I think as leaders, as practice owners, we have to have a strong vision and share that vision with your team and be transparent with them. Because if you're not, your team's going to be lost. They don't know what you expect of them, where you're trying to take this practice to. I'd like to leave it with that.
But do you feel like sometimes we're not transparent only because it's like, for example, if I were to tell my employees or everybody, like, hey, this is how much the business made, they're kind of like, holy crap, you're making that, or the business made that much, or it's making this much and I'm only getting paid this little? Like, come on, man. Do you ever?
No, and that was, and you know, I was worried about that.
Yeah.
And what you just said, it was one of my biggest fears is that, hey, what if they don't understand that it costs a lot of money to run this practice? If I was really, you know, it can cost a teacher's salary per month to run a dental practice and to simplify it. And I think it's good to share your costs. Like, hey, this is how much this costs. This is how much this costs. And if you have good-hearted people who are your employees, they're always going to be on your side, and they get it that as the practice does better, they're going to be earning more too. And that's why I think having some kind of a bonus structure or a profit-sharing plan or something in mind other than the hourly salary that you pay the employees, it's very important to have so that they see that they're getting a piece of the pie as well. It's not just all about the dental practice owner or the business owner. It's a team win. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you something really fast. Does your employees know your salary? Like how much you take home?
No, they don't know my salary, but they know exactly dollar amount, how much the practice collects.
Okay. So they know
I actually, Yeah, and actually, I print out the Divergent Dental production report. You get like a monthly report, and I pass it around so people can see it exactly how we're doing. And so they understand where this bonus that they're getting is coming from. It's coming from their hard work, and on a daily basis during the morning huddles, that's why I don't like to talk about money and the production and all that, because I want them to always be patient-centric and patient-focused. And
Gotcha,
I
gotcha.
genuinely believe this, because the more we talk about, and it's a really a fine line. That's the, you know, as a healthcare private practices that are in healthcare, it's a fine line, and we have to constantly always be patient-centric and patient-focused, and always be morally and do the ethically the right thing. And when you do those things, and then the other big component of it is marketing and innovation. When you have those three components, you don't have to worry about new patients finding you. You're always going to have new patients coming in because you're providing an incredible customer service, which is really patient care. And if you're doing the right kind of marketing and innovation, always thinking about what can we do to make not only our patients' life easier, but also our teammates' life easier. How can we use technology to make our team's life easier? So when you're concentrating on those three things, yeah, the new patients will just come over time. And that's the other thing is time. That's the fourth variable. I think time takes care of a lot of things. And it's really true for a startup. So, I mean, so many people are just impatient. A bit, obviously, you got to do your part and you got to work really hard. And the other part is just being patient. It will come if you're doing the right thing.
I like that, man. All right. Alrighty, Bishop, man. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an
Hey,
honor.
thanks for having me again on the podcast, Michael. I appreciate you having me on your podcast again.
Yeah,
So
no,
thank
man.
you.
Thank you, thank you. Where can people find you?
On our practice website, practice Facebook group, at Stonebrook Pediatric Dentistry, and on Instagram at Stonebrook Pediatric Dentistry.
Awesome, man. Go, everybody, go follow him, bug him, bother him. No, I'm just kidding, no. But just go follow him. Yeah, say what's up. And then, if anything, is it okay if I have you back on too?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, this is fun.
I know a lot of people
Yeah.
have reached out to you, or not. Well, some people have told me that they've reached out to you since like the first recording ever, because like they want to know more. So I was like, I'm just gonna have him more on the podcast, and then eventually it'll spin off to his own
I'd
podcast.
love to.
Just kidding. Yeah,
Yeah,
dude.
my even though my personal mission is to serve children and you know, but I love now I've found this I really do genuinely care for dentists too, especially private practice owners, because I'm seeing the bigger picture of where our profession is headed, and with the whole corporations and DSOs and all that, and I want to help as many private practitioners as I can. That's a new goal of mine that has come about of doing this startup office. Is I want to help other dentists. You know, I want them to see their vision, feel the vision, and help them accomplish it. And the business side, unfortunately, has a big part to it, to being able to be the best clinician. We have to concentrate on the business side, and unfortunately, you know, not all of us dentists are savvy enough to figure it out. I haven't figured out everything. You know, I'm learning obviously along the way, but I think just because of my personality, and I'm very transparent. If I don't like something, I'll just flat out say it. And especially same thing with patients. You know, I mean, I know we're trying to end this podcast, but I've kicked out parents and families out of my office because I don't put up with bullying. I don't put up with people yelling at my front office team.
Dang, they've yelled at your
Yeah, I
front
just kicked them
office?
out of my office. Yeah.
How do you kick them
Yeah.
out?
Oh,
How do you kick
yeah.
them out?
Well, first I'll do a phone call, and I've changed up my ways. I finally now send out a dismissal letter because that's the right formal thing to do. At first I would call back the parent that would yell at my front office team, and I would ask, I found out from my entire team that you're not satisfied with the phone conversation with you had with you know, and whoever they're talking to, either one of my front office team members. And then I'd like to kind of just, I don't really, before I would actually ask them for their side of the story. Now I don't even ask for their side of the story because frankly, I don't care about their side of the story. The facts are that they made somebody cry. And that's unacceptable. As an adult, yeah. You should never get so heated up in a conversation that you're yelling and you're hurting somebody's feelings so bad that you made somebody cry. You know, that's not how I like to do business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of just part ways and I tell them I can no longer be your child's pediatric dentist. And I'm happy to transfer the records over to any prior practice you wish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All righty, Abhishek, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure. And we'll hear from you soon, all right?
Hey, thanks, Michael. Hey, take care. Bye.